Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live at 570 KLIF or iHeartRadio app, whichever one you like. It's your decision. So, you know, we're talking about purpose, and joining me in studio tonight to talk about purpose, to talk about perspectives, to talk about life is Billy Blair. Billy, it's so great to have you this evening here in the studio.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you. It's fun.
This is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I like these. Wearing the headphones and all that stuff.
You look good in the headphones. They're good for you.
Thank you. Thanks.
If y'all understand, these headphones are like the biggest headphones ever made. I think they were created in like maybe the 40s or 50s. They look like he should be, I love it. They look like he should be up in like a spacecraft or something, you know, flying around with these things.
No, I don't doubt for a second those headphones, because we used to have, our friends over at WBAP, I think they had those like going back forever. You know, so they probably go back to the 50s.
Yeah, his are not so big. Why is that?
Because these are mine, bro. These are mine, which I bought with my exorbitant salary from KLIF. We won't go there.
And he's obviously kidding. And you know, the thing is, in radio, guys, and I know that when you're listening to this, you go, what is up with the headphones? But the headphones are such a big deal in radio. Like, nobody wants to share their headphones. I mean, it's like the last straw. If you have to borrow headphones, people are like, I don't know. Do I know you well enough? I mean,
it's like sharing your brush.
It is.
You don't want to lend anybody your brush.
It's rough. It's rough. I mean, it's like dog eat dog around here on the headphones.
You don't want to wear somebody else's earwax or whatever, you know?
Go back to the wet nap. Go back to the wet nap with the phone in the bathroom and the headset.
Yeah.
So. You know, Billy and I actually met, at the red carpet premiere of The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. And I know since then you have been a very busy bee.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, you get your foot in the door and then you just try to, I use it up, you know, try to get to that next level.
So you're from El Paso, right?
Yeah. Born and raised.
And you're related to Edgar Allan Poe. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, see, I didn't find that out later in life, of course. And this is really complicated, but my mother didn't meet her father till a later age. And then when we got to know him, he was like, oh, by the way, you guys are related to Edgar Allan Poe. He's your great, great, I don't know how many greats, but great uncle. So, you know, I was younger at the time, and I was like, yeah, I know, I've heard of that cat. So I remember him in school. So ever since then, you know, it was just like, wow, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty, I guess, big deal. You know, he's very popular in the goth world, right?
And in high schools all over
high
the
school,
world.
High school, the Crow movie and
the
all
Crow.
That. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, man, that's my great, 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 great uncle.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. You know, I think backgrounds are always interesting to know, because our perspective does come from different things. Now, I know that you obviously were not like buddy-buddy, because there's no way unless you came back a different lifetime. But, you know, we do learn a lot from our environment as well as our family. So some of your recent films, okay, so The Last Stand, The Kane Complex, Devotion, Machete Kills.
Machete Kills coming up. Yeah, that's the next one, October 4th.
Okay.
This is when it comes out in theater.
Awesome. That's Robert Rodriguez, right?
Robert Rodriguez. That's the sequel to Machete.
Oh.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really good. I mean, if you look at the cast, you know, from the first one, you know, it was kind of crazy. You got Lindsay Lohan, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I did. I checked that out.
Yeah. And then this one, you got Charlie Sheen, which is Carlo Estevez, and then Mel Gibson. So you got that, and then everybody else.
Mel Gibson's in this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. How did you like doing the film? How did you like being in it? I mean, did you like your character?
Oh, I love it. Well, it's like, if you've seen the first one, I was Don Johnson's henchman. So I had a big, it was a good role. It was a pretty big role for me on that one. This one is more cameo. It's a smaller role, but it's like, remember that guy from the last one. But it's a good scene. The scene is really, really, really cool. And cool. I don't know if you remember, if anybody remembers the first one, I killed Robert De Niro. This one, I kill another A-list actor. But you're going to have to find out.
We have to see the film to find out.
You have to see it, yeah.
You just broke so many women's hearts. you know, all over the world, you know, I mean, killing Robert De Niro. What's up?
Oh, well, when they find out about this one, it'll really break their hearts. Really. They'll be angry.
Oh, my stars.
They're coming for you. They're coming for you.
That's all right. They could come.
That's awesome. So also there's another, you got Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which is also Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. That's a cool thing, you know, and people have told me that, you know, when you go good with a certain director, he'll keep using you more and more. And I kind of feel like that with Robert. We kind of, you know, kind of had that little connection. So it was like an invite to do Sin City 2.
That's cool.
It was real cool.
Well, you see, like, there's a lot of actors that, you know, they gel with certain directors.
Yeah.
I mean, big time, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think, oh, gosh, the guy that does, like, all those films, like Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson are in them, and there's a couple like Jason Schwartzman, and all of them are in that same group, and they're
it's
always
like, with
Bill Murray, you know,
yeah, or like Ben Affleck or Matt Damon with was it Kevin Smith?
Yeah,
you know, they'll do some.
Here's like a really old school one, you know, John Ford and John Wayne.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
it goes back,
you know, way back in the day. But
yeah, if you guys feel comfortable, Tim Burton and Johnny Depp.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah,
uses them all the time. It's just, and he has said it before, it's like, it's so home when you go work with Tim Burton. It's, you know, it's just close to home.
It's just like, it feels like family, but good family. The family you like to have.
Exactly. It's a comfort zone.
That's cool.
So, yeah, you're going to get the best performance that way, you know.
You don't feel like inhibited. You don't feel weird about being around that person. It's like there's people out there. I feel like you, when they're around, you seem to like kind of hide out, and maybe in, like almost kind of hide. And then when other people are there, you kind of get out and you shine, you know, because it's like you know that they're going to value what you have, but you also feel great about showing it in front of them.
Yeah, depends on. Also, if you're in character, people in character always hide.
That's true. That's true. And that's in real life too, anytime, you know. I mean, day or night, you know. So what age did you realize that, you know, I want to be this artist, I want to be an entertainer, I love music, that kind of thing?
I have to say, really young age. I think because, like, I think I said it for like five is when I got introduced to Sesame Street and Kiss. And when I saw Kiss, I was like, man, that is cool. So, of course, it was hard rock. And
Which one did you like best? Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because the first album I saw was Kiss Alive 2, and he had the blood. And I never forget, I was with my grandmother, and we went to, it was some Woolco store back in the day in El
Paso.
What
kind of store is that?
It was kind of like would a Walmart be today?
Okay, okay.
But it was called Woolco.
Woolco.
Yeah, and she was going to buy.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso,
yes.
I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
There you go.
As we drive up to the Wilco with that music on.
Yeah, and that I think that music was playing in the intercom. But so she was going to buy me a Hot Wheel, and I saw a Kiss album. I wanted the Kiss album. Never heard it. I just loved the way it looked.
How cool
Kiss
is that?
And the makeup, Gene Simmons with the blood. So that, I think, right there started that. That and Sesame Street, I would perform and sing in the living room. I think that was the first signs. Yeah.
I love that. You know, I tell, I work with a lot of clients and we deal with finding your true purpose. And I usually say, if you can go back to five or six and remember exactly what you loved then, you find your true purpose, because a lot of times we mask it. We hide from it, or we're scared of it, or we're so far away from it because we're doing like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what society wants me to do. I need to go to school and I need to get this degree. And then I can make a lot more money if I do this, but I'm not going to make any money doing that. So you have to kind of go back and say, what do I truly love? Because you can do anything and make money and do well at it. It might take time. You know,
it's funny how you say that. I was talking to this with somebody. I still know. I know people still, like, later age, they still don't know what they want to do. And that's scary for them, I guess for anybody. And it really depresses them.
It does.
So, you know, if you find it at an early age, good. You know, use it, stay on that road, and keep going. You know?
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that for years. And then to, you know, run into people going to school, they figured, like, going to school is, like, their purpose. But they're not happy, and they're trying to get that degree, and they fail. They say, "Oh, I'll get it one day," and they're just miserable. You?
Preach. Preach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm 40 years old, and, you know, I went to college, you know, when I got out of high school 20 years ago, yeah. and I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, it's just like, okay, well, going to college because it was expected of me.
Yeah.
And so I went into the insurance business and hated it. Hated it. And I made a good living at it, but hated
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
and,
that's just it. You know, yeah. certain professions, I guess somebody can make a lot of money and be miserable, and then they'll change, go for less money, but like happiness.
I mean, I was just a cog in the machine, in the corporate yeah. machine, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. So about 4 years ago is when I had, you know, the road to Damascus moment.
So you're happier now?
It's, I'm as happy as I've ever been in my life, you know?
There you go.
So
yeah, you got to find it.
Gosh, I love this. This is good. I mean, we're going to have to bring him back in here. I mean, we got so much to talk about, you know?
Oh, yeah.
1 hour isn't enough, is it?
No, no. That's what we're working on, guys. We're working on syndication on this show. And so a 3-hour block would be really good, I think.
Wouldn't
for
that be awesome?
Yeah,
yes.
It'd be great.
Hey, 3 hours with
I'll
Ashley.
3 hours, see?
Yeah,
we got
man.
Billion. We got Bill. We got myself. We got Billy's cool daughter here that's sitting here in the studio. And she's doing really great, especially for a 4-year-old child. That's, I mean, awesome. I'm very thankful. Most kids aren't raised like that. You raise a good child. So when we come back here, we're going to be talking about setbacks and hurdles and all that kind of stuff in the last segment. We're going to talk about purpose. We're really going to talk about Billy when he found his purpose, life goals, and getting through those hurdles and those problems and those setbacks, even when we know what we want to do. And sometimes it can even come even faster and harder when we really know what we love, because it's actually kind of like pushing us to see if we're going to go the distance. So when we come back here after break, we have the Perspectives Pulse. And
I love it.
And we're going to sit here and think about El Paso for a while we take our break. So guess what? Keep it on 570 KLIF. Keep it on iHeartRadio. And guess what? Yeah, you know it. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina.
If you or someone you know has been injured due to someone else's negligence in the Dallas area, take action. The Ailman Law Firm works on a contingency fee basis, so clients owe no attorney's fees and will not be required to pay any costs until a recovery is obtained for the client. Sergio E. Ailman is an experienced personal injury attorney in the Dallas area and will help you determine the options for repairing your car, handling any medical expenses, and lost wages. The Ailman Law Firm will fight hard to establish and prove the extent of damages to help individuals receive the compensation they deserve. Car accidents, trucking accidents, wrongful deaths, motorcycle accidents, slip and fall, and workplace injuries. Attorney Sergio Ailman believes in his clients' cases, and the primary goal at Ailman Law Office is to help you recover from your traumatic experience. Call the Ailman Law Firm today at 214-373-7774. That's 214-373-7774.